Hey friend, it's Karen Parker with the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. I'm a mom of three beautiful souls, a lifelong entrepreneur, and intuitive coach. At 52, I realized that I have known all along that everything I needed to become the best version of myself was already inside. I'm bringing all the secrets to you by sharing what I've learned in my experiences over the years. Also, in this podcast, you'll hear tips and wisdom from some of the bravest people I know. You'll hear their stories of how they took their own leap of faith and learned to live their life in complete joy and freedom. Take my hand as you listen and learn how to rise above all your disappointments, all your struggles, and begin to experience your own joy in the journey. Let's go. Well, we are in the middle of our second series called Dad Bods and Beer Guts, and I am so grateful, I'm so honored, I'm excited to get this information out there. Who is this series for? Well, it's for both men and women. Women, I hope that it will give you a little sneak peek into the mind of a man who is doing great work. Men, I hope that it will inspire you. I hope that it will maybe shed some light on some things that you want to try, that you may want to dig deep into. Maybe it's encouragement to you that you're doing really, really well in this life. So here we go. You're going to be hearing from four different men, different ages. And I will say this, don't let the title fool you. Dad Bods and Beer Guts does not mean that that's what these men are dealing with. What it does mean is that they are living their life. They're coming up against obstacles, against struggles, just like everyone else in this world. But what they're also doing that may be a little different for most men out there, for most people, really, is they are digging deep. They are finding what they need to do to either change situations or events, or maybe even to heal. Maybe they too had past trauma that they need to work on. So they're shedding tips and tricks of things that they have done to help us pursue that life well lived. I hope you take a moment, take some time to listen, really gain some knowledge, and maybe share this with friends, with family, with other people. And I would be forever grateful if you would subscribe, like, and review this with a 5-star review. I hope everyone is having an amazing day. Thank you so much. I'm honored for you taking the time out to be here with me and kind of take a little backseat ride on the journey. Take care. All right, so today we have Bradley Richardson on the Pursuit of Living Well podcast, and I have to say I'm kind of super excited and nervous at the same time because this is the first time we've been face-to-face.
Yes. Yeah.
Semi-face-to-face.
Right. Yes, it's like we know each other, but this is, one point it'll be like proximity.
Right. So I didn't get a bio before all of this because I know bits and pieces, but I want to give kind of the rundown and the power of social media. Like power of social media. So I could say that we sort of kind of run in the same circles, but not really. But how I found you is through another entrepreneur, and you were attending something that they were doing, like a mini mastermind of sorts. And he happened to repost one of your stories that you were doing when you first arrived.
Right.
And then next thing I know, it pops up on my suggested follows, and I go to follow, and you are doing a live with Karen. And it drew me in because y'all were talking about advanced adulting. This was 2019, early or mid 2000?
No, it's the beginning of 2019. Yeah, it was in February.
Yeah, yeah. And what was really kind of cool about that was shortly after that, I was listening to somebody else's podcast that I absolutely love. It's Rob Murgatroyd, the Work Hard, Play Hard podcast. He does an amazing interview. And he happened to be interviewing Karen. And I immediately was like, I need to know this woman. I want to be her friend. And of course, here I am in a little small town, North Carolina, East Coast. Who am I? She was married to blah, 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 blah. And all of the labels that we put on people that are
celebrities.
Quote, celebrities. Long story short, I actually hired her this last year for a 3-month little stint when I was in my pivot process. And I had to say, oh my God, neither one of you know this, but Bradley Richardson is the one that introduced us.
I have him to blame.
And then everything started coming together. So thank you, number one. But I want to go back to that advanced adulting thing, because this series that I'm doing, and when I first mentioned it to you, you were like, oh God, no, is called Dad Bods and Beer Guts.
Yeah, I'm a little offended by that. I'd like to have you on this, but you know.
Right. The only reason it's catchy, right? And it kind of pulls you in. But usually men, let's say 35, 40 and above, they've got everybody's kind of into that dad bods and beer guts thing. However, what we know to be true is that we have to take care of ourselves. And there's so many people that I keep coming into contact with that are doing the pivot. So I want to talk about
the third, fourth time.
Right. Reinvention, all of the things. I want to talk about the first pivot that you had. The first pivot. I want to go back to, you've written 5 books, right?
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I've had 5 published. I started when I was 26. I'm 54 now. Yeah, I've had 5 books, 3 business books. Oh my God, look at that.
Talk to me about this book right here.
Here's the thing. I was held was, God, not my child, by the way. My kids are better looking than that. That's a stunt baby. So that book came out. My daughter's 24.
Okay.
So I got a 24-year-old, 22, and 20. So that was, almost 22 years ago is that one. So I was actually, oh my God, I'm 32 there. Holy hell. That's a dad bod. I think hopefully.
Right.
I age a little bit better. Lost the hair, but yeah. So no, I've written 2 about being a dad. So Daddy Smarts, and then Daddy Smarts, A Guide for Rookie Dads. And then 3 business books, mostly careers. And the thing with the books is, you know, it's funny is my actual professional career was probably the first pivot.
Okay.
Because I started out in my 20s. I grew up in West Texas and played tennis all over the world and played at the University of Oklahoma and went to work for one of the early internet companies. I was working in New York and I was an average frat boy student tennis player. Okay. So like, I want to be a writer.
Okay. And pause. Which fraternity?
I was Lambda Chi. Yeah.
Okay.
Roll your eyes at that. What?
Fine.
See, it doesn't matter what I say.
I had a bad experience with Lambda.
Thank you. Because inevitably, there's I've run into so many people. It's like, ooh, I hate frat boys. Or you were that, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Every frat boy, there's some douchebaggery that goes
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely. And I don't mind the frat. Some of my closest guy friends grew up in fraternities in college. And I grew up. That was not the right. They probably regressed. But anyway.
Hey, look, you know what?
The story. Okay, sorry.
I played at Oklahoma. Okay. So being an athlete at Oklahoma sounds cool, except I didn't play football at Oklahoma. So I actually wanted to date at some point. So I had to blop in the whole fraternity thing too. That was what. But no, when I am working in New York, I kept a journal, and it was just a journal of things were moving so fast, drinking from a fire hose. It was, oh my God, you know, this is like, I was fortunate enough in sales to be way above my head. So I'm dealing with people my parents' age, senior and EVP level folks, some of the biggest companies, biggest ad agencies, media companies in the world. And I'm getting my ass handed to me. So it's everything from here's how you negotiate, here's, you know, this person is a role model. I want to follow this person's an asshole. Don't do this. Don't sleep with your coworkers, everything. And I turned that journal and wrote 11 pages of it. I turned that into a book deal with Random House. I was too dumb to know what I stepped into. So I got a book and audio deal with Random House, became bestseller, and right out of the gate, and launched everything. So I started speaking, consulting, you know, AT&T, Southwest Airlines, people that bring me in. I did the whole keynote circuit forever, wrote some more books on that, and had the kids, same thing, out of a journal of like, you know, you saw the dad books. Now there's so many good ones, but the daddy books were, you know, they're just by wusses. You know, I'm like sitting there going, oh my God, what type of pandering bullshit is this?
Yeah.
And so I just, same thing. I got book deals and turned those into it. Even the way I looked like with that, I was managed to get a book deal. Sad. But I ended up changing. I was married at the time, and the wife didn't like the lifestyle and, you know, what I was doing. And I was, you know, capitulated and went to work for Wall Street Journal, went to work for as a headhunter, and I was very successful as a headhunter for, God, you know, over 15 years. Loved it and hated it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when I got divorced about 10 years ago, it was another, you know, life-changing thing. I thought, if you're going to blow it up, blow it all up. I wanted to get something different. I wanted to kind of get back to my roots.
Right.
But it was hard because it was the golden handcuffs. It's like, wait a minute, I'm making good money doing this. This is what I should do. This is all this. And I started to kind of drift apart from it. I mean, there were personal pivots, but as far as a professional pivot, then it was, and I'm sure we'll talk about the adulting thing too. The adulting, that's kind of where it came from. It wasn't by design, but it was like, I felt like free on parole here after being married for 16 years in this, you know, come on, you know, it's not bad. It's not bagging on. It's been the distance. I've been divorced 10 years, but it was a loveless marriage, you know, and just it should have ended long, long before. So you get out and you're just trying to find yourself again. You'd lost yourself. So it's like, whether it's, and you're scared shitless and you're, you know, it, 1 minute you're 10 feet tall and 1 minute you're just, you know, in a fetal position. I just tried to figure it out and figure out. I remember one time I went on an early date and someone goes, so what do you like to do? A beautiful woman. And I'm freaking out here. You know, I'm thinking I'm a troll to live under a bridge. She's like, what do you like to do? And I caught myself. I swear to God, I don't know what the hell I like to do. You know, I don't know what I like to listen to, whatever. So it's kind of that reinvention. Anyway, with the advanced adulting thing, several years ago, it was probably about 3 years ago, I felt like I needed to get back into recruiting and all that, but I hated it so hard. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of a pivotal moment that just made me walk away from all of it. I said, fuck this. I'd rather go bartend than anything. Okay. Just screw it. I don't want to think. I don't use my brain. So I did. I actually had never bartended in my life. I went and bartended. Okay. At one of the coolest places in Dallas and somehow got myself into it. I went from placing CEOs and CFOs and writing books and do all this. I bartended for 4 months. Okay. Just to check out. Okay. And I got to see, I thought as a headhunter, I had a master's degree in understanding people and human nature when they're on their best behavior. Well, I got the opposite end on this. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And one day I'm talking to an influencer, young girl who's, you know, very, very successful fashion blogger, yeah. Hundreds and of thousands of followers, making cash loads, you know, boatloads of cash. And we're talking, and it's so funny. We had this thing and she goes, and she opened up, she goes, I have all of these followers in this audience and I don't like my message. All she wanted to do was talk about Jesus, but nobody really wanted to pay for that. They'd really talk about skirts. And so she felt disconnected. And I said, that's funny because I have a real message, but if I had that audience, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I thought about that and I thought, quit. I wrote a note, and this is the whole advanced adulting type thing of, and where you and I came on this, the whole idea of being a nice guy versus a good guy.
We're gonna get to that.
Oh yeah. I thought about that and I thought, you know what? And I guess let's back up. Earlier in my post-divorce thing, there's been a fair amount of douchebaggery. Okay. Like most people, men and women. Okay. I went on a tear early on. I was like, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let's just do everything.
Right.
And try it all. And I learned a lot of lessons, pro and con. And, I wrote something. I put it out to Marie Forleo's group, the B School group. It's like 25,000 different people all over the world. And I said, hey, I know I am the most vilified demographic in the world right now. I am a, you know, middle-aged white dude.
That's even more so vilified now.
And I'm Southern. Okay. I'm a fifth generation Texan. You know, I'm not politically correct. So I'm going to trust you guys. And I threw out the idea out there of, hey, we're all doing these pivots about as an adult here. There's so much that we think we're supposed to have our shit together, but we really don't. We're going through it, whether it is you know, dating, divorce, career pivots, losing a parent, you know, finding yourself again, all of this. And then I threw out the idea of, I believe that, you know, there is a lot of douchebaggery out there. There's a lot of things, a lot of people that call it old school Southern gentleman, but there's a lot of men that really don't know how to behave. And I think there needs to be a different way out there. What do you think? And I was fully prepared to get crucified. I got hundreds of responses in 48 hours going, yeah, not only is it a good idea, but you're the guy to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did. And I started down the advanced adulting path and created courses on a variety of things, but one of them happened to be, and it was just an inadvertent success on dating.
Yeah, yeah. And
I didn't set out to be the older Matthew Hussey, mm-hmm, by any stretch. It wasn't my design. And I did a course about how to get your guy to open up in 3 dates or less, because I know men are full of shit. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to tell you exactly, we're all in our best behavior. So I took the best parts of being an executive recruiter and being a guy and merged them and told women, here's how you pull back the, you know, peel back the onion, mm-hmm, and get to be real, real fast. So you don't waste your time.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you talking about that a lot. And of course, very married at the time and all that. And I was like, God, I wish I knew what he had to say. Oh, I wish I knew what he had to say. So I want you to give us one tip for the women that are listening. One tip of how to get your guy to open up, because I know that they're just like I was, like, give me more, you know.
Very quickly.
Go from there, but.
Oh, yeah.
One tip.
Well, there's a couple that come to mind.
Maybe men should take a hint on this.
Oh, no, totally men too. See, it's not unique.
Yeah. Because,
you know, I remember there's another story in this, but I mean, yes. Totally. So, and again, realize that my career was based upon an interview with a high profile executives, mm-hmm, whose intention was to put on their best face to try and get past me. So, and my role was, I'm going to read between the lines, I'm going to find if you're full of shit or not, real quick. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's that. Number one is going to be, you got to think of like a first encounter. It's like an interview or a date. It's no different than being an interview. Okay. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we think of it in terms of name, rank, serial number. Oh my gosh. Well, let's see. Tell me about your family. Oh, well, I went to an SEC school. I'm Catholic. I come from a big family. I grew up here. Awesome.
You know, all superficial.
Nobody gives a shit. Everybody's got all that stuff. Yeah. Okay. And they're telling their basic stories. And sometimes this is a big one. Don't tell your sad stories. No one cares about that. It's not a virtual three-way. You don't want your ex there in the with you. And so, but it's the idea.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. It's the idea of, yeah, well, because then what do? You're basing this whole thing based on a shitty situation and, you know, oh my God, you're going to lick your wounds together. That's awesome. Instead, I think it's true. So, my ex was such a son of a bitch. He never paid child support. He does this and this. Really, my ex, you know, my ex cheated. She blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful basis for a relationship. Go with God. But I think it is a pattern interrupt. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. So people are doing that. You know, they start doing a thing. And I suggest asking a totally random question that is unrelated that throws them off. Okay? This is not playing a game. But this is like, okay, so, and here's the question I like to ask. It's for men and women, okay? But it's, tell me two things that you are most excited about in your life right now, okay? Great, okay? Well, here's the catch though. You gotta play this through, because any skilled man or woman at this is gonna, they're gonna default to, well, if they've got kids, well, I'm so excited and passionate about my children. Okay. Well, this is what you got to do. You can either, that's why I say two. Mm-hmm. You either go, hey, that's awesome. But what else? Okay. Yeah. Because one, if they have kids and they don't say it, that's a red flag.
Right.
And otherwise, of course, they're going to say that. Okay.
Yeah.
What you're looking for is, you don't give a shit what they are really excited about. It could be stamp collecting, Sooner football, politics, whatever. You don't even have to agree with it or like it, but you want to find out that they're passionate about something, excited about something, and can communicate that. Okay. Because if they're not passionate about anything, well, I don't know. Okay. Thanks for playing. Okay. How are they going to be passionate about you? You know, and if it did, look, it doesn't get much better. Okay. If they're not super heated about something, it's not like it's a slow build. Okay. And So that's a big one right there. The other thing I love to ask is more on the second type of date, second or third. Uh-huh. And this is more for women. Guys could ask this, I'll ask damn near anything. I mean, I go a million and 50 weird places, but I think it's okay to go, why did you ask me out? Okay. Why did you ask me out? What did you see in me? Okay. So here's guy speak. Okay. Instantly, they're going to go to, well, you know, I don't care how smooth they are, how articulately they state it. It's going to be, well, I thought you were beautiful, really attracted to you. And I thought we just had a lot in common. Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Right. Okay? Right.
And you can smile and flirt. Oh, thank you. Yeah. But what else?
Yeah.
And then you lean in. Okay. And here's why. Because this is going to tell you whether you're just trying to get your pants or not.
Yeah.
No, look, let's be real. This is it.
Honest. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if they just thought you were hot, which okay. And yes, they should. Okay. So that's great. Hopefully they you know, think you're attractive. Think you have some income, thought we'd have a good time. Of course, but what else? And so, and the reason is, did they put any thought,
any effort
or thought into you knowing you? Was there something about it? Was there something exciting, magnetic, electric, energetic, intellectually stimulating, curious, whatever the hell it is? Is there something beyond hot piece of ass? There we go. I mean, that's what you want to know those things.
Absolutely.
I think that tells a lot about a person. It doesn't have to be the most articulate. You know, it doesn't have to look like it came written right out of the notebook. Who cares?
Absolutely.
But did you think about it? You know, those are a couple things right there.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it around on you. What made you decide to come on this podcast?
Well, I like you and Karin. I mean, Karin's like my sister. My real sister lives here in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, tall blonde. Well, I got another, you know, Karin is another tall blonde that's like my sister in opposite directions. I mean, it's just, right. You know, one, yeah, my original sister, my real sister, she'll look at me kind of judgingly, like, Bradley. Wait, Karin and I are just like,
yeah.
No, it was one, you asked, and I like you and respect you and know you're going to do good stuff. I'm not, why'd I come on this podcast? It's a good question.
What else, Bradley?
you learn. No, it was, you know, look, I did the advanced adulting thing. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling tales out of school here. I mean, yeah. So people have context. I was doing that and doing well with it. I was getting a lot of traction with it and had, you know many women from around the world doing this thing. And again, I did it because I want to do other things with advanced adulting also. That was it. I never, ever set out to be dating dude. It just felt kind of gross.
Right.
I ended up meeting a woman, falling in love with a woman. And anyone who'd asked me about that stuff before, like, you do this? And I was like, yeah, whatever. Well, I really love this one. She posed something to me that kind of made me take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't feel, I felt very disingenuous doing that. And I felt it disrespected her and the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stomped on the brakes hard with both feet. Put that off.
Yeah.
And it was the right decision. I could have altered that, but it was the right decision there. That relationship didn't work out after 2 years, but I still would have done the same thing. You know, I just think that was the right thing. That's who I am. And that was it. So why I'm on this is because you and I've had some offline conversations, and I've had many conversations with many men friends of mine as well about the difference between, you know, you could hear people, someone may hear that and go, oh, what a nice guy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. That was the right move. But sometimes being a nice guy it's not the same as being a good man. And sometimes what you need to do is screw being a nice guy and be a good man instead.
I'm glad you went there, because that was going to be my next segue, because that was when you and I first started communicating back and forth.
Right.
I said something about the podcast, and that was, and you immediately went there. And we hadn't really had any, not even close to any real communication. So there's some kind of energetic thing going on, but you said exactly the thing, the difference. I really want to talk about the difference between being a nice guy and a good man, and the edge that brings in being a good man.
Yep.
Let's talk about that.
You know, it's so funny because it's, oh, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there's nothing inherently wrong with being a nice guy, okay? Mm-hmm. Nor am I advocating or in any way, shape, or form going a good man, because we're going to talk about boundaries, we're going to talk about some things, and I want to be real clear on this.
Yes.
So no one misunderstands. That does not mean being misogynistic, toxic masculinity, anything like that, okay? No way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But I want you to, you know, hell, I'll go there. I'll take the heat on this one. You don't have to. I mean, it's the idea of, I think everybody here, men or women, analyze your own relationship, okay? I think there is a balance of power and there are definite gender roles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not to say it's unequal. You know, there has to be a level of equality and shared responsibility and shared love and commitment on that. But I do believe, from my experience, mm-hmm. that there has to be, you know, some sort of definitive roles. And we talk about, you know, I know you're a little woo-woo. I mean, I am too. We talk about masculine energy, feminine energy.
Right.
Okay? I think there needs to be a level of both. Okay. Right. I think I like strong alpha women. I dig it. Okay. It's a blessing and a curse. Okay. But, and I'm pretty in tune with my feminine side, and unfortunately too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's part of it. Let's go back to nice guy or nice guy versus good man. Yeah. Nice guys, I think, can be vanilla, can be, and that doesn't mean boring at all, but it means they acquiesce. It means they cater. They're pleasers. It's the, what do you need, baby? Let me do this. They take, the boundaries just freaking drop. They end up in, you know, what's the road to hell is paved with good intentions?
Yeah.
That's being a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, no, that shit doesn't work for me. No, we're not doing this. No, I don't like being treated this way. You know? But you know, and you still need to be vulnerable, and you still, it's not saying being a hard ass by any stretch. That's that yin and yang of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big thing. And I can say in my own personal experience, and I've seen a lot of guys too, being a nice guy does not always serve you or your woman or the relationship well at all. And it's the word that you and I've talked about before is harmless. Mm-hmm. Nice guys, he's harmless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to be a dangerous man who can control it.
Yeah. In my experience, they tend to be more passive. You really don't know where they stand on anything because they don't want to give their opinion. Or whenever you're excited about something, then they all of a sudden get excited about it when really they don't even like it to begin with. So why are they all of a sudden excited about it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of examples, and yeah. It's not to say that, you know, every guy does each one of them.
Right. Right?
But I think it's that idea, you know, and look, when I say good man, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, grow a beard, get a bike and get some guns. But it's, you know, it's that being able to stand up for yourself. And I think that's it. And I'll say from my own experience, and again, it can go both ways. What is that, you know, calling bullshit, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what? It's like, no, you know, there are couples out there that just, and people that just love to argue, you know, they're going to stand their ground regardless, okay? No, you got to, you know, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying don't be a doormat either, okay? And you need to be, being a good man means being able to take care of and provide for yourself first so you can be that person for your person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's what it means. And I look back and, you know, I've had great moments of that, and I've screwed the pooch as well, you know? And like I said, in the name, yeah, I think some dudes are inherently weak. Okay. Sorry. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't fall into that category, but I did fall into the category of feeling that, and this is my opinion is this is a societal thing. Okay. I think men are so effed up right now that whether it was how we were raised, okay. So I was raised by a pack of women. Okay. My dad bolted. Okay. So no wonder I'm really good. I'm so good in this category.
Right.
But I didn't have a good male role model out there.
Right.
And then the other is going to be with just society, you know, men are getting bashed constantly and some deservedly so. Okay. So I'm not discounting that, but it is where do we fit?
Yeah.
Where is it? How do we do this? What is it? You know, be you.
Yeah.
Be you, be strong, stand your ground, take care of you, protect, provide, you know, be there, be present, mm-hmm. that type of thing. And for me, it is that willingness to walk away. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I got to, for you to respect me, I have to respect me. And sometimes that means I'm not putting up with your shit.
Yeah.
And that may be an unpopular position, but it is, in my opinion, the right position based on experience.
Okay, ladies, now is the time to talk about the event of the year. This could be the time where you experience the most growth, the most change, the most connection, the most releasing of all that is no longer serving you to become the best and highest version of yourself. What does that mean? That means that you will finally begin to recognize the things that you really don't like that are going on in your life. It could be in your job. It could be in your relationships. It could be so many different things. Right now, we are in the middle of a 7-week training, experience, whatever you want to call it, to prepare us for all that is going to solidify for us as individuals come April. From April 19th until the 22nd, we are going to be going to Sedona, Arizona, and I'm so friggin' excited. I can't wait for you to join me there. If you want to be a part of this experience with other like-minded women, I want you to run, don't walk, run, send me a message, go to KarenParker.com, spelled C-A-R-O-N, Parker.com, click on the Feminine Fire Experience, read all about it right there. The least you can do is get more information. Find out what it is that you're going to be gaining from this experience. Every experience is going to be a little different because it's so individualized. It's kind of like yoga. When you go into yoga, it's how much you surrender to the process. It's going to be like that. Surrender to the process. Surrender to what could be. Surrender to the unknown. If you feel like you need more connection, if you feel like you need to release some things in your life, if you feel that you are so sick and tired of being sick and tired, maybe you want to be free from your past. Maybe you want to be free from all pain. And pain's just not physical. It can be emotional. It can be spiritual. Maybe you just want to be free to move forward in power, to move forward in your own power, to recognize the power that is all around you, that is God-given, to recognize the power that comes from source, from God alone. Maybe it's the freedom to be completely you. I would love to have you join us. Again, it's going to be April the 19th through the 22nd. We'll be starting our evening that Monday night, and we will be traveling on Thursday on the 22nd after a good breakfast and decompression with each other. I look forward to seeing you there. I hope that you will join us, and yeah, enjoy your amazing day. Let's dive deep into this. By the way, before I forget, every Sunday evening between now and the time that we leave, we are going to be doing a deep dive for 7 weeks total. If you want to be a part of this free training, then shoot me your email address and I will add you to the group. This happens every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. via Zoom, and you will also be added to our Facebook group. I hope you can join us. I look forward to seeing you. By the way, it doesn't mean that you have to go to the event in April, but come get this free information, this free training for yourself, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. And in that, being able to walk away, it's knowing and trusting, for me, having that this or something better. Usually it's the some, there's going to be something better, not just for me, but for them as well.
Yeah,
I think so. I think so. I think that there's someone in my situation, I think that there's someone that could be better at being who he needs in his life, mm-hmm. than myself.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And vice versa. We're great friends. We're not so good married.
Right.
And because of the way we grow up or the things that we learned, you know, we have this like commitment and this, oh my God, I can't do this because, and oh my God, I've been married so long that I can't, you know, and it's trying to wrap your head around what you, this learned behavior mm-hmm. and what you feel in your gut in regards to the way that you need to move. It's, yeah. It's a gut feel.
It's not a gut feel. You know, yeah. It is. I mean, I saw this meme out there. It was like, essentially it was like, hey, trust your gut. That bitch knows what's up. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
It's your instinct. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just it. I mean, you're fairly, most people are fairly intuitive. I mean, unless you're a freaking narcissist or sociopath, which is a whole other podcast, but yeah, you know what's up. And I think it's that courage. And I'm not over dramatizing that word either. Mm-hmm. It's that because look, everybody comes to a relationship, especially the older you are. You come to a relationship, friendships too, but let's talk for these purposes, relationships. You come with your own baggage, okay? You know, sometimes it's a beat up duffel bag. Sometimes it's just like, you know, a cargo ship full of Louis luggage. I mean, but we all come with it, okay? And
Louis variety.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's it. And so what I think is funny is, and not funny, it's funny, sad, funny, haha, of you bring and manifest your own baggage, wounds, scars, all that shit, you know? And I know I'm not the only man out there who's, you know, abandonment issues or whatever the hell it is. It's hard. I mean, you bring that shit in, and in a perfect relationship, and if there is one, look, you need to have that strength and the safety mm-hmm. as well. You know, there need to be boundaries. You can't use them as your personal therapist and dumping ground or scratch pad. But at the same time, you need to have men, you know, and that's something I've seen for a lot of men is being strong sometimes is that ability to be vulnerable and let yourself go and lean into your partner with that. And sometimes some women don't know how the hell to deal with that. Yeah. It's just the fact of it. They go, oh no, I only want you this, you know, oh shit, you better not do this on me, you know? And when you feel that, I think a lot of guys, when they feel that, oh my God, and us, I've said this before, you know, I think a lot of women misunderstand the depth and levels that men will go for them. Okay. There are a lot of bad men out there. Okay. We haven't even talked about that. Okay. We're not even going to address that. Fuck those guys. Okay. We want the bad guys.
Yeah.
But you know, the right man, mm-hmm. you know, we're remarkably simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I used to joke. It was the whole, you know, just, you know, feed me, touch my butt and tell me I'm pretty, but it is somewhat old school chivalrous. Yeah, if I know men who, if their woman supports them, loves them, and is there and calls them on their bullshit, but knows that, hey, baby, I love you and I've got you and we got this, they will run through a damn burning brick wall for them. Mm-hmm. They will make themselves a better man and want to be a better man.
Yeah.
That's it. But when you don't feel that, you either, that's where bad men run, chase other things, go play golf on weekends, abandon, check out. Or you end up, if you're, you know, the nice guy, you push it down. You push it all down and you're just like, okay, well, I'll either be stoic yet be destroyed inside, or I'll just kind of lean into, okay, well, what do you want to do, baby? I'll take care of this, this, and this, and this. When all you really want to do, all you really want to do is be your fucking hero.
Yeah.
That's all you really want. It's not as, you know, gender roles be damned. Sorry. It is kind of as simple as that. You know, it is. I mean, it's not saying go wear a burqa, you can't vote and can't drive. Still want to be your hero. Okay. Still want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's being a good man.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I love the fact that you brought up the whole vulnerability part because mm-hmm. I don't know. And maybe I've just been in a hole for 30 some years, but I haven't had a lot of interaction with men that are vulnerable. They're usually pretty super. They're vulnerable on the front end, which is what kind of draws you in. And then all of a sudden they want to do this. and everything is they don't want to have the super, the deep conversations. They don't say, you know, look, what you said really hurt. Hello. And then you find out 10 years later, they throw some crap, you know, and you're like, hold up. Well, why didn't you say that back then? Oh my God. I mean, had I known, tell me how you really feel.
Right.
And I hear this over and over and over and over again. And so, especially the older we are, I think those of us in our, and I could be, again, maybe just now coming out of my hole, but men and women that are in their 50 plus, you know, we're raised a lot differently than even we raised our kids now, you know, and everything is just very, I don't know, just superficial, not a whole lot of connection. And
you know what? That word right there, and maybe, you know, I hope I'm not just projecting my own thoughts on this, but I believe this. And I think it stems from the older I get. And, you know, look, I've married 16 years, divorced 10 now, okay? Mm-hmm. Came close to getting back on the horse twice, okay? But connection. Mm-hmm. That's it. We talk love. We talk all this. I want all three. I want this, this, and the other. But that connection,
yeah.
That's it. I don't want, you know, I don't want, screw labels, rings. Yeah. I want this. I just, you know, I want your heart.
Yeah.
I want your heart. I want you to be there.
Yeah. It's like, I, you know, I was writing down, I said, I could go through all of your accolades about all of these things that you've done, but who is Bradley at your core?
You know what? Your people aren't seeing this. We talked before this. I don't know. TBD, you know, TBD. I'm still figuring that shit out.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and you know what? It's, I'm having a little bit of an identity crisis right now, to be honest. You know, I mean, and that I think I know, you know, I want to be a good man. That's it. And you know what? It is, shit ain't easy. No, I've had a, everyone's had a rough year. I mean, I'm not making light of that, but I mean, you know, COVID, no COVID, whatever. No, I had a pretty transformative year. Pretty transformative past 6 months. It's kind of it's shaken me, but it's also made me reset. And one of my good guy friends goes, man, this is a gift. I'm like, no, it's a gift. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that whole evolution of
it's not easy.
No, it's not easy, but you know, that's just part of it. And you know, I guess that's just it. I have such disdain for all the, and you and I've talked about this. Anybody that does any deep dive on me or my info out there, I hate the influencer, you know, uncurated bullshit. Okay? Who are you? Well, I'm, you know, such and such. And it's all, they've got it on point. Mm-hmm. You know what? I am a fifth generation Texan, dad of three, insanely beautiful kids, who loves hard to a fault, who is crazy brilliant and creative, who has had moments of greatness and moments of just effing it up, and who's just working to get better every damn day. That's it.
I love that so much. You have no idea. Yeah, that's good.
I'm trying right now in my old age to string more moments of greatness together. Mm-hmm. There's two things that they're not stories. One's a dream, one was a belief. And so the belief that I stick with is, and how I want to keep going. Mm-hmm. So I've always been a big art fan. Okay. I am studying contrast here. Like, I grew up in West Texas, but I love NASCAR, but I play tennis, but I, you know, am into the arts and, you know,
yeah.
So I painted. So I've always been a painter and loved that. And if you look, you know, people think of a painting as a masterpiece, but what I'm fascinated by is the palette. Mm. And if you look at an artist's palette, it's, you know, what they put their paint on. It's a beautiful mess. It is a beautiful, colorful, vibrant mess. And there's muddy parts and there's vibrant parts and stuff. I mean, it's not clean, but it's the palette that makes the masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted, and the way I've wanted the rest of my life to go is I want it to be a palette. I want all these incredible, colorful experiences and people and things and knowledge and all of this. And that's how I want my life to look, is like a palette. Mm-hmm. And from that, the masterpiece will come. And that's it. The other thing is a dream I had a few years ago. This was about the bartending phase, you know, when I was going from, you know, writing books and CEOs and this to like the effort phase. Yeah. And right before I wrote that thing on Marie Forleo's deal, I had a dream and it scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm 50, 51. And, you know, kids are growing. I'm by myself. I wasn't in a relationship, you know, and, you know, I sat there and the dream was I woke up, you know, well, I didn't wake up. The dream was I had a heart attack and I died. Okay. And which scares the shit out of you, and that no one would find me because I'm like, oh my God. But they find me and they finally do an autopsy. Okay. It gets better. Trust me. Okay. It's going to sound like shit for a second.
No, I'm going to circle back to this in a second, but keep going. Okay.
But so anyway, the dream was I die of, you know, a seeming heart attack, and they do the autopsy. And what they find though is that it was a heart attack, but actually my heart had burst. Mm. And what had happened was it didn't burst from weight or, you know, any sort of congenital heart failure or anything like that. It burst because there was so many things inside my heart. There were so many things, so much love, so many ideas, so many things said, unsaid, undone, that I never let them out. And it finally just burst and I died. And that rocked me.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that one in a while. Yeah. And I remember where I was sitting when that happened. And that was like, and I have to remind myself of that from time to time, is I want to, and the punchline on that whole dream was, I want to go out with an empty heart. Mm. I want to go out on fumes, but I don't go out with a totally empty heart. Not all my heart's full. No, I want to give, I want there to be nothing left. Just done.
Pour it out.
And that's it. So that's who I am. Love it or hate it.
Yeah. You're talking about having the dream. I actually dreamed, here I am, you know, in this tiny home, nobody around me, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, what if I fall trying to put something up and nobody is here? You know, it's just that this panic starts to take place. So I get that part of it, but I also yesterday had a massage and Reiki session. I was doing great. It was like, oh, it feels great. At the end, something happened and I felt this flood and this overwhelm. And this happens with me a lot when I'm, especially when I'm interacting with people, mm-hmm. I get this overwhelming, unconditional love that just builds up. I'm going to start crying because it's happening right now, that builds up and I have nowhere for it to go. And that happened. And then all of a sudden it dropped into complete loneliness. Mm-hmm. And it was imploding on me. And then next thing I know, it just explodes. And then all of a sudden this love starts to flow out. And it's just going almost like fiber optics. It's just going, you know, but I had no idea where it was going. And that's the way I feel. It's like, I've got all of this. It's not like pent up angst or anything like that. It's just this love that I want it to be able to land somewhere that it's going to be reciprocated in the way that I see as love. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I get it. I completely get it. Sorry. I went deep.
No. No, it's funny. And you said something else I think is important too. And, you know, there's a lot out there in, you know, kind of the worlds we walk in of personal development and, you know, relationship, spirituality, all this stuff of like, oh, well, Jill, it's just, you're so woke and in touch. If you just give your things away and don't expect anything in return. Yes. Okay. To the world in general. Yes. But if it's with an individual, okay, you want it back, mm-hmm. you know, you don't, here's the thing. I believe I sure as hell don't do it so I can get it back. You know, that's why I do it, because I genuinely love you, want to do this, and I would do it anyway.
Right.
But throw me something back. Okay, but you know, it's just after a while that I think that everyone wants that, you know? And I don't care how, and men want that. I think, let's kind of put a bow on that one. I mean, yeah, you know, your man wants that too. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, however that manifests itself, however that is, you know, he wants that, you can deliver that, whatever. But I think anything though, the example I've always used is this. Okay, I grew up playing tennis all over, still, you know, dialed into that world. And here's the thing, you know, with tennis, the ball comes back. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a rally. It's not always pretty. Sometimes the ball bounces twice. Sometimes it goes over here. Sometimes you got to run for it, chase it. It's okay, but the ball comes back. You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's bullshit. I mean, you're just playing by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not what relationships, friendships, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You know, interchangeable.
Yeah.
But you don't do it to get it back. But you still, you know, we all need, the strongest ones of us need something.
Yeah. And you need it in a way that speaks to you. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. Because somebody can, it's like a plant sitting in the corner and you're watering it and you're watering it and you're watering it. And you think you're giving it what it needs and it's over there dying of root rot. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. You weren't giving it what it really needed. And I think that that is super important to be aware of, you know, what speaks to you about love and what you need may not be what speaks to me. And we need to be aware of that with our significant others.
Yeah. You know, and this is a little bit of an off ramp here, but it's interesting you bring that up. And I mean, I got some hot sports opinions on that one, on the whole love language thing. Cause oh, that's kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah.
You know, well, my opinion is, and look, I think back to my kid's mom. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, you flip it. Cause we were opposite on everything. Right. Okay. I mean, my top two were her bottom two and vice versa.
Right.
And I remember one person who I had dated for a little bit and I'm like, same type thing. Well, I was much more cognizant. I was aware of what this person needed, but it wasn't my go-to, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't my default. Mm-hmm. And the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, I've changed a little bit. I think being aware is step one, but I also think it's probably more, you know, there's greater chances for success and compatibility if you at least are somewhat similar. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's that. So for like example, I mean, gifts and acts of service. I don't give two shits. I really don't. You know, I don't care if you give me anything. I don't care what you do. You know, I clean up the house. Thank you. But I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I, you know, look, I want words of affirmation, touch and time. That's it. Pretty much you can give the three love languages. I'm good to go. I don't give a fuck about the others. All right.
Yeah.
And inevitably I end up with, you know, with people, it's like, well, it's like, you know, well, I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to. It's like, no, the whole point on that, the punchline is you can be aware of it, but if it doesn't come naturally to you, you're going to miss some things.
Yeah.
And it's going to be not forced because you want to work and you want to give to that person in the way that they need that.
Right.
But I think that they're setting those expectations. And I think that's all other off ramp too, is expectations of outcomes. Boy, I'm becoming much more Buddhist and woo woo in that regard. The older I get of having to just, I can't live in the past. I can't live in the future. I can't worry about outcomes. It's just like right here now.
Right here, right now.
Oh my God, how hard is that?
Yeah.
That's agony for me. And I'm working on it every damn day. Mm-hmm. But I have to make that happen to be successful at any shit, business, life, relationships, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've gone like right over an hour, but I have some rapid fire questions I want to ask you.
Oh, that wasn't it?
Real quick.
We should rapid fire. We got two in.
Yeah. Rapid fire. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
What was the best brotherhood moment that you've ever experienced?
Wow. I've been having a lot recently.
That's the one so I can see.
You know, brotherhood moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Oddly enough, it happened with my son of all things. My middle son, Skylar, we've always been super close. I got to take him and five of his buddies to Talladega for his 22nd birthday.
Nice.
And doing that. Otherwise, it is just the small... You know, I've had brotherhood moments where we go blow shit up and shoot shit and stuff like that. That's fun.
Hey, let's go.
I like that. I mean, we'll go drink bourbon and, you know, smoke cigars and shit shit. But
you stick with the cigar, but I'll drink the bourbon.
but my brotherhood moments come like even this week, you've got good men who are checking on you. Mm-hmm. You're going, hey, you know,
good.
You there? Mm-hmm. That's the real shit that counts.
Yeah. If you could live anywhere in the world other than United States, where would it be?
Southern Spain.
Nice. Man's best friend, and you can't say a dog. Mine would be a German Shepherd.
Oh, we're talking. Oh, a pit bull. I'm told pit bulls. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter.
A pit bull, and I'm going to get another one here. So.
My daughter's got an XL bully, a Merle that is absolutely gorgeous. I have to send you pictures. Yeah. All right. What was your biggest aha moment of 2020?
We've been an hour already. Okay.
I know. Real quick.
Best aha moment. What, you know, nobody gonna love you unless you love yourself.
Cool. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Like actually tomorrow? Or like
tomorrow.
I am looking forward to, I've got some really interesting conversations scheduled tomorrow that should move some things along personally and professionally. I'm excited about, and I'm not being coy, but I had some big things happen this past week that have changed the course of some things I'm going to be doing the next couple of months. I'm planning that and putting that in motion.
Good, good.
Happy stuff here in Atlanta and around the country.
Oh, that's awesome. You started The Collective. I want you to tell people where they can find you quickly, what that's about, if they want to work with you and they want to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, another pivot. The benefit that came from pandemic for me was having time to really reassess, okay, what do you want to do that provides real value? Mm-hmm. And I looked at things with fresh set of eyes. And that was, I've had experience doing a lot of things as a best-selling author, speaker, consultant. I've, you know, had sponsorships, pretty much everything that people want to do in the world of content, thought leadership, platforming, all of that I've done for the past 25, 30 years at the highest levels. Okay. I've done media, everything. And I've also, as a headhunter, you know, pretty much, if you don't know the headhunter, executive career, you're pretty much a high-end pimp, like an agent. Okay. It is. You're a white collar pimp, but it's not just making the matches. It's really getting creative. And that's my superpowers. I'm able to connect the dots. So when I thought of this, I thought for people who want to replatform, what I mean by that is you've had an area of expertise in your career. You might have been an athlete, an artist, an entrepreneur. You might have been in retail, whatever the business is, but you have some important message that you now want to get out there. Mm-hmm. Not be an influencer, but look, whether it is writing a book, speaking, consulting, you know, whatever it is, a lot of people don't know how to go about that. And there's no one to help either represent you, advise, strategize, and make those connections. Mm-hmm. And so I created, for lack of a better word, a talent agency, a community called The Collective. And it is a collective of people around the world who are not celebrities. They're not, you know, bullshit influencers, but they are people of influence who are doing real things and helping them make those connections. Mm-hmm. And not just physical connections and people connections, but connections to resources, opportunities, ideas. And we do this through a couple different levels. One is a global community where we're, you know, twice a month, they have access like a mastermind. So it takes the best elements of a mastermind, coaching, true representation and advisory, and blends them together and gets people access to it. So you can come in and you can have access to our collective experts and figure out, hey, how are we gonna write books? How are we gonna speak? How are we gonna do this? Relationship stuff, all of that, have access to that information, but to collaborate with others. You can have us help you go to the next step and do some of it for you and help prep that. And then to full representation and getting you all the way in and creating business opportunities. So that's it. And if people wanna, doesn't matter what you do. Like I said, it's the idea of showcasing good people doing good work. That's really it. Ain't real hard. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be some Instagram model shaking your ass. You don't have to be a celebrity. It's just good people doing good work that the world needs to know about. I want to showcase and shine a light on them and help them get where they want to be. And so they can reach me at the two ways. So you can get me on social media. Instagram and LinkedIn are my best things. It's I'm Bradley Richardson, and same on LinkedIn. And The Collective is at, you can email me at Bradley@BradleyRichardson.com or Bradley@thecollective.ventures.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll put all that in the show notes. So I think that's great. I think that's absolutely amazing. We need more stuff like that, and people need to know what you're doing. So yeah. I want to say thank you for the conversation. I'm sure we will have many more.
Oh yes, we will. We'll get you here to Atlanta too, and we'll all go run around. That'll be dangerous.
With some bourbon. Yeah. I just love it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope it inspired you to take action in your life and know that you are a gift to this world just as much as anyone. For more information on how you can work with me or get other resources and materials, head over to my website at www.karenparker.com. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Karen Parker Living Well. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would be such an honor for you to share it with someone you think would love it. Also, it would mean the world to me, and I would be forever grateful if you would just take a minute to leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. Tell me your thoughts and comment on what you gained from this episode. It will help me as I want to bring you value and contribute to what helps you grow and have joy in your pursuit of living well.